Podcastlandia. You might be a little surprised to hear my voice as the one introducing the interview today, but as a comics lover and a comics fandom lover, I was desperate to be a part of this conversation. So I kicked Flame out, who's on date night tonight, and inserted myself instead. So I will be your interview host. And my guests today are our wonderful Comics and 616 gurus, Kiar, Magic, and Sign. Thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So as always, we will start a little bit with our fandom origin stories. I know that Kiar gave a overall arcing introduction to her fandom life, but maybe we can hear a little bit more about how you got into specifically comics or even Steve Tony comics. And then Magic and Sign, maybe you can let us know what your fandom origin stories are.
Sure. So I've said before, my ex-girlfriend gave me an anthology. It had like Tales with Suspense in it, which is like very early Steve Tony comics. Mine was black and white. It doesn't even have color in it. And I read that like in the span of one summer, and then I was like totally hooked. And then I found the Kink meme, which some of you probably remember on LiveJournal circa 2012 Avengers era. And I started posting a fill, and I called it Sins of Omission. And I didn't think anybody would read it. And then people started reading it and they liked it. So I became the opposite of a lurker in a very short period of time. And here we are today. It's been almost 10 years.
It does sort of feel like it happens overnight, doesn't it?
Yep.
Magic, how did you get into fandom spaces?
I totally do remember the Kink Me because I joined fandom back in 2012, actually right before the Avengers 2012 came out. I think I got into fandom right like the end of April, but I kind of plowed through all the available MCU fic and all moved on to 616 fic. And then I had a whole summer to read comics and kind of never looked back after that point.
So you read comics first, or you read comics first, and that got you started on reading comics?
Yep. I just devoured everything on AO3 and LiveJournal.
And Sign, what about you?
Well, I've been in Marvel comics fandom for a while, but for me, it was actually X-Men first. I was in X-Men fandom in the late 90s, back when X-Men was the only Marvel Comics fandom. I tell this to people now and they don't believe me. They're like, no, where are the Avengers? But no, nobody was into Avengers, not in the same fanish way that we all are now. And then I kind of fell out of it for several years. And I actually say that I'm probably the only person who came out of Winter Soldier shipping Steve Tony, because you start reading X-Men and when that's your introduction to the Avengers, you learn that Captain America is really a jerk, because he's really a jerk to all of the mutants all the time. So I was like, well, who wants to ever read about him? But then I saw Winter Soldier and I was like, hey, this guy's pretty interesting. Maybe I'll check out the comics and see what I've missed in the past 10 years. And I found out that I'd missed Civil War and I'd missed The Confession. I read The Confession. I was like, I'm here now. This is where I live. This is my fandom. And then I wrote a million words of fic.
That's amazing. I actually also, just to sort of throw in my brief comics, I have a similar, I started with X-Men too. When I was a preteen, my parents had it was a wedding gift. I think they got like, someone had gotten them a subscription to like Marvel delivered to your house. And we had X-Men and Spider-Man. And when I was old enough, they let me read them because they were worried I was going to destroy them. And so that was like my only 616 experience for a long time, until I ended up back in this fandom because of the movies. And then I got into alts instead of 616. Sorry, guys. related to alts, I did want to ask you guys, comics, and you may or may not agree with the foundation of this, but in Marvel fandom as a whole, I think, or even from an MCU perspective, I think that comics fan works and comics fandom has a perception, as well as the comics themselves, of being darker or grittier or attracting more angst or dark fic creators. I was wondering what you guys had to say about that. If you think that it's accurate, first of all, if it is, why do you think it's that way? And if it isn't, what would you want to say to dispel the myth?
Who wants to start with that one?
Says Key, who was just on our episode 2 weeks ago. Go ahead.
I think instead of asking that question, you have to first look at the canon that we have. Like, 616 fandom comes with its own assortment of like canonical angst of any fucking flavor that you want it to be. So I would say that it doesn't necessarily attract more angst weasels, but like there is a broader base available to step off and do bad, dark, grimdark things if you want. I'm interested to hear what Sign thinks of this though, because I think that Sign gets me to read fluff when not a lot of people can too. So, and I think that's also like a thing that we have in our canon. There's just so much of it.
Well, I call Sign a lot of things fluff, but then I write things where I realize that, you know, it's fluff, but Tony is like naked and crying and believes that, you know, everything is not real and nobody loves him. But then
that's canonical.
Ending. Yes.
That's also canonical.
Yeah, but then it has a happy ending, and comics don't end ever. So,
right.
I think that you can write fluff, just to put in a word for fluff. But I think that even in things that end happily, people will often want to write things that adhere closely to the comics in some way, either because they really like this run or they really hate this run and they think they can do it better. But so like even when you have that kind of fluff goal, you might just go through the angst to get there.
Yeah, I think related to that, I think that MCU tends to see a lot of like AU fan works, like, I don't know, Coffee Shop AU. I just picked the first one that I thought of. And I think that 616 fandom, because it's so like, you have to put a lot of time investment in to like navigate it from the beginning, I think you're more likely to like use the canon when you're creating fan works. So we tend to have like more canon or canon adjacent works than like MCU does. So I think that might be part of it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I feel like a lot of 616 fic is fix it fic, because the fandom, like for Hand of History, it basically started after Civil War. So people really started writing for Steve Tony after Civil War, which is, you know, like their big breakup. So it's kind of like, would you call Captain America Civil War fix angst, or would you call them fix it fix? Because I think like that's what defines 616 fic to me, is lots and lots of fixes, because there's so much to fix in canon.
Right. And it's cyclical too, because they break up like every decade and then get back together, because comics never end, like Sign said.
So yeah, it seems like just the vast majority of canon alone, and also that the canon itself is, you know, like the movies just can never be, because they're sort of, I don't want to say sanitized, but they're designed to appeal to a broader, more mass markety thing than the comics are. It dives less into, like, you know, we barely get to see Tony's problems with alcohol or things like that, whereas in the comics they get to spend a great deal of time on those kinds of things.
That's really true.
So we could call it a failing of the MCU if we wanted to, instead of that comics lovers are angst weasels. There's just not enough movie.
I say, I think they're just different flavors.
So we've talked, so speaking of sort of the immensity of comics canon, because I think that's like fundamentally, not just with the angst thing, but it affects so much of the differences between movie fandom and comics fandom, and how the ships are written, and how much background there is for the ships. And like you say, they've broken up and gone back together so many times. But I was wondering, as comics readers, and also as fic writers and lovers of fic, presumably you like the big emotional moments to some degree. I was wondering, with the immensity of comics canon versus the relatively short period of the MCU, because even though it's a lot of movies for movie people, it has nothing on how much comics canon there are. Do you think that comics canon being so huge affects fan reactions to those big emotional moments, because we get retcons and we get different writers taking things in different directions, and there's just so many of them? So it's this idea that for movie fans, Tony dying in Endgame is this massive, like, destroying event. And for 616 fans, Tony dying is just a Tuesday. Is that a fair perception, first of all? And so, like, are there big emotional moments in the comics canon? And do you feel like comics creators are invested in those, or they're easier to take, or is that what spawns all those fix-its Magic was saying?
I guess I'll take this one. So I think kind of coming in from a Steve Tony perspective, I feel like these like big emotional moments in comics kind of come from a foundation of looking at the relationships, right, that these characters all have with each other. So say like, if we're comparing it to like MCU Tony dying, that's like Tony as a character dying. But when say, sorry, like this is like 15 year spoilers, when 616 Steve like dies in Civil War, like it's not so much about like him dying. That was obviously a big like event, but like we got like dozens of issues of Tony crying and having sobbing breakdowns over Steve's body, right? Like you don't get that sort of stuff like with Tony dying in the MCU. So like you could just tell like when these big emotional moments happen, like it really affects these characters' relationships, and they have such like a rich history and there's so much baggage there, and it's like something that's really like fulfilling and interesting to look at from a fan creator perspective, because you know they've been through so much together and they continue to go through so much together, and that's like really fun from like a writing perspective because they write big.
Oh, I like that. So would you say that actually, even though the comics canon gives you a whole lot more, it actually, the result of that is more spaces to fill fix into instead of less canon giving you more room to fill all the emptiness?
I don't know about the answer to that one, actually. Do you and Sign have anything to say? Because there's so much room in comics, but I do feel like comics fandom kind of sticks to certain big places to fix or certain big places to hone in on.
Yeah, I don't think there's like, I'm just speaking for myself. I don't know how other creators feel about this, but I don't feel compelled to fill in like blank spaces as much, although you certainly can. What I really like is that you can like bounce backward and forward in time and you can still feel the ripple effects of these big emotional upheavals Magic is talking about. And like the beauty of having so much canon is that like you can choose to ignore large swaths of it if you really want to. And we do, because like if you're not enjoying something that's happening or that's coming out, like you can wait because you know there will be more of it in the future and it will be different. I got away from the original question. I'm sorry. I don't remember what it was.
No, we were talking about filling in gaps and you're saying, I think, sort of similar to Magic, that people pick and choose and there's kind of magnetic moments that a lot of fans tend to stick to, and it doesn't necessarily feel like,
right, you reminded me
maybe that there's more space to fill in. Yeah, okay.
So you reminded me. So sometimes we do have gaps, and it's because like everybody universally agrees that like we don't want to deal with the content of that moment in time or like that crossover event or like that one writer, so like that's where our fix it stuff comes in. I think, what do you think, Sign?
Okay, interesting. Yeah,
I actually wanted to go back to a point in the original question. So it seemed to be asking if the character deaths in a sense are cheaper in comics because we always know they're going to come back, like no matter how they try to sell us on, you know, no, they're really, really dying for real this time, you know, they're going to come back next year. Like, we all know that, like, we're not going to, you know, suddenly be expecting that, you know, somebody will be dead for real. This isn't Ults, this is 616.
Right.
But I think that actually, for me, that's a plus, because I think of it like, you know, the presumed dead genre of fanfic, it's like that. So we get like all of the angst, all of the emotion, all of the like grief, like everything like juicy and emotional and that you know, dramatic that you could want to read about. But then they come back and we
have to do it
back
all over again.
Yeah.
So actually that kind of brings me to another point, because Key mentioned that, you know, there might be writers or runs that you can kind of ignore if you're not a fan. And what you were saying about people having favorite moments and stuff like that. and this is like, I think this is really different from other types of fandoms. TV shows or movies might have a couple of writers over the years, but nothing like the vast numbers of artists and writers and everybody who gets involved in so many years of comics. So I was wondering, what impact do you guys feel writers and artists have on the comics and their role in relation to fandom and fandom culture? Do you guys have favorite writers? Is that a common thing for comics fans to have?
Do we have favorites?
I think we all have favorites.
We all have favorites.
So is like writer stan culture, is that, would you say that's part of the fandom spaces?
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I'd say that I'm trying not to be like a super downer. I think the opposite is actually more true. Like sometimes we will tend to rally against a certain writer and we'll be like, we will vehemently like collectively be like, this is bad and I don't like it and I want it to stop. I don't know if that's a uniquely me experience. I don't think it is.
I think it's, sorry, Farrah, I don't know if you want to get all into like the 616 drama, but I think a lot of it happens, particularly with Iron Man comics and how Tony's characterization has really shifted a lot in the past decade, especially since MCU Tony became a thing. So I feel like a lot of collective 616 fandom kind of takes like earlier Tony canon pre-MCU as kind of like their baseline for what 616 Tony should be.
I think that's true.
So the choice of writer, it plays a big role, not just in the specific runs that they write, but even that you can see like echoes down the line of the influence that they had at various periods.
Yeah, I do think for writers, like I kind of think of comics writers kind of like, I think of like fanfic writers. Like there are writers whose characterizations I love and want to read. And then there are writers who like, I don't really jive with their characterizations. I could just ignore it, right? Because just like the comics writer culture of like most comic writers were fans of comics like decades ago. And now they made it big and became a writer for their favorite comic book character. Like they're just fans too. So I don't really like necessarily take their canon like and hold it in higher regard than like my own take, because they're just fans as well. So I don't know how you two feel about that key insight.
I think it's also important to mention that canon also contradicts itself. I mean, sometimes on purpose because they'll retcon something, or sometimes just, you know, is Steve from the Lower East Side or is he from Brooklyn? I mean, both of those things have been stated to be true in comics. You know, where did Tony get his heart injury? You know, so it's all true. And the current writer gets to pick whichever thing they'd like to be true. So I feel like we're sort of doing the same thing as they are. They're just the ones getting paid for it,
right?
And getting to make comic books.
That's right.
So they get to pick. Why shouldn't we?
Furthermore, things that complicate this even further is that Marvel likes to do what are called crossover events. So if you're a comics fan, it's like twice a year at this point, sometimes more, you get treated to this event, which disrupts like the run of your favorite character or like your favorite team. So you'd be reading a story in Iron Man or Captain America, right? And then it would get interrupted for a few issues because there would be like a massive event in the universe happening. And like a lot of different teams can be involved or like a lot of different characters. And so sometimes, I'm thinking of Civil War in particular, but sometimes because of those crossover events, the characterization swerves drastically away from where it was like in the main continuity of the book. So it really is like a pick and choose your own adventure thing as a fandom creator.
I can see how that's appealing for somebody who likes fic or is like a fandom minded person, because like you were saying, it really, if it feels like the writers are fanfic writers too, they're just ones that get published at comic book stores, then it really gives you that freedom to kind of enjoy all the comics you want to enjoy, ignore the ones you want to ignore, and enjoy all the fic you want to enjoy and ignore all the ones you want to ignore. And you just end up getting these characters that you love in lots of different ways all the time. So I now have to ask you guys if you have a favorite run or a favorite storyline as part of the Steve Tony or not 616 canon history. And I know that's a lot to think about, but I feel like everyone kind of has their couple of things that stick out.
I have mine.
We all have very similar favorite runs, but go first, Key.
No, you go, Magic, because I don't remember what you said your favorite is, and I don't want to duplicate our faves.
But we have, that's the thing, we're all friends because we like the same things, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's all the same answer, that's great too. You can tell me why for each of you.
Okay, well, I guess Key told me to go, but I know you were going to say this, Key, but I was going to talk about Hickman Avengers.
Talk about Hickman Avengers.
So
explain a little bit about what that means for listeners.
Okay, so Hickman Avengers is just the fandom way to refer to Jonathan Hickman's Avengers / New Avengers. That later kind of turned into Secret Wars run, which was this massive run that was like 3 years long, and it kind of was like its own little thing. Like Hickman definitely doesn't write like a typical comic book writer, I would say. It really felt like I was reading like a sci-fi story just with Avengers, but Steve and Tony had a ton of focus in this run, and it really, like, I have very fond memories of it because that's really what got me into writing for this fandom, because there was so much to fix, because like I said, I really like Fix-It-Fic, but it's very angsty and it's very like super dramatic and stuff, but it's very, very, very Steve Tony. So it's like a kind of like a cornerstone of the fandom.
So when you say stuff to fix, do you mean because like emotional stuff to fix, not things you didn't like about the story?
Kind of both. They definitely, they're definitely at odds in it, and I don't want it to be spoilery, but there's kind of like a lot of Steve Tony stuff. It's like they disagree like morally with each other, right? Like they disagree on what to do kind of in these moments of crisis, like. And that's an appeal for a lot of people because Steve and Tony disagree a lot, but they also kind of care about each other, and they also like really hold each other in high regard. And I think Hickman Avengers kind of took that to the extreme where they really, really disagreed with each other, but they really love each other, and it's difficult for them to deal with that.
That sounds lovely. I can see why it's a favorite. Key and Sime, were you going to say the same thing?
I was going to say Hickman Avengers 2. I mean, Magic said it all really beautifully, especially the part about it being like a very expansive sci-fi situation. Like Hickman very clearly had a direction in mind, which not all comic book writers do, I feel, when they start, or it's not apparent. And I especially like the third act of Hickman Avengers, which... I don't know. Can you, like, philosophically, can you spoil something from 8 years ago?
I think we're good.
Okay. So,
spoiler alert, guys. So, close your ears for a moment if you don't.
So, Tony does something very bad to Steve, and Steve finds out about it in, like, the third act of this, like, I don't know. It's probably like 80-ish issues long, maybe. I don't remember. It's very long, the whole thing, which is also a plus for me. And Steve spends the rest of it like very, very angry about it and with Tony on the brain and nothing else. So that's like delightful for an angst weasel like myself. But other than Hickman, I was also going to specifically recommend the fourth volume of Iron Man, which is actually where Tony's characterization starts to shift. I would say this is like the last, for me, this is one of the last, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. His characterization changes a lot after 9/11, which is like its own whole comics discussion topic. But I would say that this is one of like the 2000s comic, not including Civil War, but like the stuff around it, where I really like his characterizations, particularly the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So spoilers again, Steve has died. They fought in the street during Civil War, and Steve ended up dying because somebody assassinated him. And Tony is like really sad, and Tony is running S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's bad at it because he's grieving, and he's, you know, augmented his body with technology, and he's really cut a wedge in the middle of the Avengers. So like half of the team won't even speak to him, and half of the team is like living in this weird new reality that's an allegory for the Patriot Act. It's all like very fraught and tense and dark. And this run really has everything. I mean, Tony's a sad sack. There's a lot of body horror. There's a lot of loneliness. He hallucinates Steve being dead and yelling at him. So like, it's got everything you want, I would say.
I'm the idea of him hallucinating Steve yelling at him sounds absolutely fabulous to me. So I am totally in for that. Sign, what about you?
I'm actually going to say something different. And I think I've just realized why Key accuses that, you know, I get her to read fluff, because I'm going to go a little bit fluffier and I'm going to say volume 3.
Nice.
So just so happened that Avengers volume 3, Iron Man volume 3, and Captain America volume 3 all started running at the same time, approximately 1998. So we've got Kurt Busiek on Iron Man and Avengers, and Mark Waid on Captain America. And I will admit that it's not particularly slashy for Steve Toney as far as it goes, but I think it was really the last time you get the classic Avengers, the Avengers who live in the mansion, the Avengers who love each other, the Avengers who hang out, the Avengers who haven't experienced any, you know, world-shattering, team-shattering catastrophes that cause them to no longer be able to trust each other. They're all just really good friends. And Wade Steve is like amazing. I love the way he characterizes Steve, because I think he nails the exact characterization of him, where sometimes he can veer a little corny. Sometimes people will write him like, is it awfully corny, you know, only making speeches about freedom? And sometimes they'll write him like super grimdark. But I think he's like right in the middle for me. He just, when he does speeches or like interacts with other characters, I say to myself, I understand why people would follow Captain America and why he's amazing. And then over in Iron Man run, Busiek's Iron Man run, it's got a lot of really good stuff for Tony. We've got him helping Carol with her drinking arc. We've got him being generous, philanthropically giving. He's just a really solid, good guy. And like, I feel like volume 3 is the last time we see all of that before everything gets super, super grim. I mean, not that I don't also like the grim sometimes, but I mean, they were all friends once. And I think volume 3 is one of the best places to see that.
Oh, that's lovely. Also, I think that points to sort of a great thing that the comics had room to do, which is to establish that love and trust and teamwork and the foundation there that lets you play a lot more with all the grim conflict and people dying and people coming back and people breaking up and everything. And they have that foundation to go back to, something that their relationships were born out of, for later conflict to really pack a punch, but also for resolutions to feel believable, I guess.
Right. Because yeah, we have moments of tragedy in the MCU and then it's over, right? But we don't have like decades of this shared companionship and like fighting in the trenches alongside each other to make the mm-hmm. impact hurt you where you live. Not to diminish its effect it's had on people, because like people obviously resonate with the MCU tragedy, but I think I love the way Sign said it, because the Avengers being a family is necessary to like set up the tragedy and then knock it down like dominoes later.
Yeah, and I think a lot of MCU fans would say that that's what they feel was missing most from the movies, was that foundation of found family and friendship and love. So if we've got some MCU fans that are thinking about converting, maybe that's a great little teaser to get them interested. But speaking of the MCU, I know, as you said, it has had an impact on comics, and I've definitely seen people being disappointed about the influence it's had on comics or comics writers. Totally valid, giving you space for that. But I wanted to ask if you have anything, what's one thing that you wish that MCU only fans knew about 616 or 616 fandom spaces?
I'm going to go first.
I gotta go for it. Me.
Okay.
So dear MCU fandom, you know that fanon you like, where the Avengers all live together and they all hang out and they all play games and they watch movies together and they're just, you know, generally all up in each other's business in their free time. That's comics. If you want that to be, you know, canon, go read comics. It is all right there. I have panels of the Avengers sitting around and playing Monopoly while Godzilla attacks them.
That's adorable.
It's real.
Well, I guess I don't really have like an answer, but I guess I'll just share like a funny anecdote that just happened in the 616 server a few days ago, because I asked like, hey, can someone point me to like that part, that time in canon when like Tony broke a mirror after seeing his reflection? I think it happened, but I don't remember. And then Sign and Key and like the rest of the 616 server got together and bring me like four different times that Tony punched a window slash punched a mirror slash punched something and started bleeding from his fist. So I just want to say, if you want any moment, there's probably like at least half a dozen times it happened in comics. So, you know, come, like, it could be fluffy or angsty, it's all going to be there, and we'll bring you like half a dozen panels proving it.
Comics lets you relive it over and over and over. And I mean, since we're all fanfic readers here, it seems like that's something that we're all into. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay, I have a fandom thing. I would tell people who are like curious about 616 fandom that there are so many people who are just so eager to like sit you down and be like, these are comics and here's why I love them, and I'd love to help you read them. Because whenever somebody gets into comics, the next step in that evolution is making you, is like recruiting your friends and making them read comics. So I know that it can seem sort of monolithic and hard to get into and overwhelming because there's so much of it, but like people really just want you to read them so we can all like gush about it together. That's my main fandom takeaway thing. And then I think I have a characterization thing, which is like, when you start, or if you start reading comics, like realize that the characterization is sort of shifting sands to begin with, but there is so much more beyond MCU and all of, thinking about how to phrase this. It stretches far, far back, and you may find great joy in like the beginning of, like in the conception of Iron Man, the mythos, and the conception of like Captain America, because like they're both very political figures in a way that I don't think the MCU was able to do. And I think that there's a lot of potential and joy and like knowledge to be gleaned from playing around in that particular sandbox. So
I love that. That's great. And what you were saying about fandom space, I can say that you three are absolutely people who are willing to sit down and help people enter comics, because after this interview, our next segment is going to be you guys doing just that. So if anyone's listening and saying, wow, that sounds like a great idea, then just keep your butt in your chair and keep listening. And there's going to be more coming up. But before we sign off on our interview, I did want to ask if you guys have any 616 fic recs. Either something you're currently reading or that's currently posting, or an old favorite that you'd like to share with 616 fans and non-616 fans who might be interested in trying a fic out.
I would like to recommend Blossoms in the Mist's Relativistic Heat Conduction, which technically it's not a 616 fic, but it is only technically not a 616 fic in a way that a 616 fan who cares deeply about that sort of thing would care about. It's basically a 616 fic. It's Age of Ultron, which has nothing to do with the movie except that it has Ultron in it. It's a universe where Ultron won and they're all living in the robot apocalypse trying to survive and ideally come up with a way to defeat Ultron. It's kind of grim actually as a miniseries, but Blossom's fic is really, really great. You don't need to have read Age of Ultron to read it. I should probably mention that it's a death fic. That would probably be a good thing to warn for, but it's not a sad death fic. It's a death fic that makes me feel happy at the end, but I don't actually read it for the death part. I think that it's a really good summary basically of why Steve and Tony are good for each other. Like why they're my OTP, really, why I ship them, how they walk through this robot post-apocalypse together and they hold each other up and they support each other and they're like good for each other and they're a team and they really just help each other get through this, and you know that they wouldn't be able to do it without each other. And I think that that story really illustrates that for me.
That's a beautiful recommendation.
Agreed.
I love Epic too, and I guess I'll just go ahead. I'll like rec basically everything from Elspeth, Vixen, and Shanchai. They are cornerstone of 6160 Tony fandom. And I will say for those of you listening who maybe don't know much about 616, I did read their fic before I got into fandom, loved it, read it again after I'd read the comics and loved it even more. And I think what is really special about their fics to me is that it made me love people beyond Steve and Tony, because we're talking about this from a Steve Tony point of view, right? But the Avengers are this massive team with so many, like probably hundreds of members at some point, like in their history. And they all care deeply about each other. And I think they are really great ensemble fix where Steve and Tony really is like a central part of the story. So it really made me go like, want to read more comics to learn more about these different characters that Steve and Tony care about, because it's not just caring about like Steve and Tony loving each other. It's caring about like this whole concept of the Avengers as like a team and as a family that cares about each other. I said I'd wreck everything, but I do have the one pulled up on my tab. It's When the Lights Go On Again, and that's a Volume 3 fic that it's kind of it's in its own little world. It's like about like an alien invasion, and the Avengers have to fight it off, and they all work together, and they just all really love each other. And yeah, it makes me feel lots of things about not just Steve and Tony, but about the Avengers as like a concept, and why, you know, like I love superheroes and why like we care about superheroes in general. Gets me that like part of my heart.
I heavily co-sign both of those. They're really classics and good, and they will make you feel good about heroes. They'll make your heart like glow. My recs are not as feel good. I'm sorry. I don't know what you expected.
No, no one's surprised.
I know.
We need balance. You're here for balance.
Yeah, we'll just call it that. So I would like to rec I'll Remember Best of All the Things We Didn't Say, another really classic, Kinda Dark by Dorcas Gustine. This is like an old fandom fic, like early on in comic Steve Tony fandom, I would say. And it's follows my favorite period, the aftermath of Civil War for angst potential. Both of my recs are Tony centric because I'm a Tony fave person. Sorry about that too. So this one is like kind of a dark retelling of like what if Steve came back, and Tony was doing even more poorly than he was doing in the comics. You should read it. It's lovely. And it features all of the Avengers, as many early Steve Tony comics fics do, because like you can't really parcel the, I feel like early comics works tend to like, they're like a batch deal. Whereas like, you know, people have branched out and done it differently in the time since. Okay. So that's my first rec. My second rec is Crate's lovely Tony centric, Stark Disassembled series. The first work is called Zero Sum, and it's really, really philosophical and contemplative, and really just like a lovely characterization exercise. With it's got some epistolary bits, but it's also like very zoomed in close on Tony and his grief, and that's a thing that I love to explore and I love to read about. It's really long. There's multiple parts. It's beautifully written. Go for it.
Well, that is a fantastic collection of recommendations. Thank you very much for that. I hope that our readers are getting their clicking fingers going already, but I also hope they stick around, because next up after this interview, we're going to have a little Welcome to Comics, Welcome to 616 introduction talk to get you guys started or interested or any of those wonderful words. So thank you guys so much for joining me for this interview and for taking over this episode of the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We love to talk about comics.
Well, we're very grateful for that, because Flame and I know very little. And yeah, everyone stick around and keep listening for our next segment.